Greetings, Lisa Edwards here, CEO of Exclusive Career Coaching and host of the Exclusive Career Coach Podcast. Ready for some great career management content? Then let's dig in. Greetings, happy April. Hope you didn't get fooled too much on April Fool's Day. I don't know why we only have fools in April. I often figure if it's May 1st, it must be May Fool's Day, etc., etc. But at any rate, I digress. I want to put in a plug, if you will, for my complimentary consults. And the link is in the show notes if this is something you're interested in. And I want to be real clear about what this is. This is a 45-minute consult with me about working one-on-one with me. So it's not more free assistance. You have the podcast, and if you're on my mailing list, you get a newsletter every Wednesday that's hopefully very helpful in terms of thinking about things and giving you information about the job search and career management and all of that. And I have a bunch of freebies on my website. So this is for those of you who are ready to work with an expert like me. So if that's something you're interested in, again, it's a 45-minute consult. And what I do during that time is ask you a bunch of questions to get a really good sense of where you're at now and what your goals are. And then I prescribe what I can do to support you in those goals and what that looks like. So again, give it a try if this is something you're ready to do. Today we're going to talk about how to approach your resume summary. And I'm going to be talking a lot about branding because those two things go hand in hand up at the top of your resume. Now, I freely admit that if you checked out probably 100 resume writers, I'm going to use air quotes for resume writers, out there on the internet via their podcast, their website, or whatever else they've got out there, you might get, 50 or more different approaches to this. But here's the thing. Number one, you're listening to me, so this probably means that you have some trust and faith in what I tell you. One of the things that I hear most often from you folks who then reach out for a consult is that what I say on this podcast really resonates with you and you have this trust factor with me. And I would never intentionally do anything to damage that trust. So number one, you're listening to me, so you get my perspective on this. But number two, there are fewer than 25 master resume writers in the world and you're listening to one of them. So I think it's, the evidence is pretty clear that I know what I'm talking about and I've been doing this for a very long time. So let's talk about this. So first of all, what is this? If this is a new concept, if you're like, I don't even know what you're talking about. The resume summary goes, quote unquote, above the fold. So if you think of back when we used to have print newspapers, do they still exist? Above the fold is a journalism term referring to, when you fold the newspaper in half, what's above that fold. And that's a very critical part of the resume, and it is a term that we will throw around as we're talking, because it is the thing that they're going to see first, and it's what really needs to grab their attention, meaning the reader, if they are to continue to read it. So it goes below your contact information. So typically at the top of your resume, you have name, contact information, and then below the summary and branding information, you're going to get the professional experience section. So this is right up at the top. What doesn't go in this space is an old school objective, which I have seen a resurgence of those and people talking about those. I was actually on a LinkedIn experts forum that I get invited to these things because of my activity on LinkedIn to contribute to AI generated articles. And both the article talked about an objective and then one of the contributors talked about your objective. And I was like, I screamed, I wrote nice, but I screamed because an objective tells an employer what you want rather than how you are uniquely qualified to provide them what they need and want. So it's very self-serving. It sounds something like this: high achieving communications professional seeking a mid-level position in public relations that utilizes skills in blank, blank, and blank. And that's the format that we would use back what feels like 100 years ago when I was working with college students, and objective statements were still the norm. They are no longer. Keep in mind, your resume is a marketing document. It is not what I call a static data sheet, which is what many of the resumes that come to me, that's what they are. They really don't sell the person. They just, I love the term and I did not make this up. It's a career obituary. Right? It's just like, here's what I did, and then I stopped doing it. So, I hate to be the one to break the news to you, but an employer doesn't really care what you want out of this job. They want to know what you can do for them. This space above the fold should be used to lay out what I call your brand differentiators. What you bring to the table that no other candidate can say about themselves, can bring to the table. And then it's followed by concrete examples that support that brand. I'm going to give you some examples of good ones and then some not great ones that came to me on resumes. Nothing is personal so that you can know who these people are. So I see two primary problems with the resumes that I look at that come to me. So they're coming to me for a consult, and I have everyone send me their resume ahead of time. So one issue is there is no branding. So it starts right in with the professional experience section or whatever it is, but it's not a summary. And then the other thing that I see is the branding is not differentiating at all. What it really states is, I have the minimum qualifications for the job. So if you step back from it and look at it, what it is really just saying about you is, I am minimally qualified for this job. And that is not a marketing statement. Let's think about marketing. I always, for some reason, use the Nike shoe example. I don't know why. I've never owned a pair of Nikes in my life, and I'm not married to the company at all. But if Nike was trying to market itself, like your resume should be marketing you, and Nike simply said, we have shoes and you can put them on your feet, like that's what all shoes do, right? They shoes we can put on your feet, as opposed to what? Shoes you put on your head, right? There's nothing differentiating or unique about that statement. And of course, Nike would never market their shoes that way. And yet, we, when looking for jobs, we want to be purchased by a company, if you will, who will pay us much more than a pair of Nike shoes, even the really good ones. We sell ourselves like that. I am an, so if I'm an accountant, I actually asked, and I think I've told this on the podcast before, but I was working with an accountant once. And I said, so what is different about you? Trying to, tease this out of him. And he said, well, I'm really good with numbers. That does not different, as opposed to all the accountants out there who, can't add, I guess. So we really want to make sure that we differentiate you. So when there is no summary up at the top, the job seeker hasn't sort of set the stage, if you will, for what's to follow. There's no context there. And in many cases, when there's no summary, what there also is none of is a target job title. And I'm not talking about that a lot in this, really at all in this podcast, but it is important to have that target job title, whether it's something as specific as CFO, Chief Financial Officer, or something as broader like operations leader, for someone whose job target is a little bit broader than a single job title. But we want to set the stage. Here's the job title. Here's what I bring. Here's my brand differentiators. Here's what makes me uniquely qualified. Here is some supporting evidence of that brand that I've just told you about. And then we're going to get into my experience, which has all my achievements to back up everything else. If there is a summary, but it's not differentiating, the job seeker has essentially just wasted that space above the fold. So instead of providing compelling evidence that the employer really is going to want to continue reading, again, it's just been, we're Nike and you can put our shoes on your feet. So how do you know if your branding statement is differentiating? Let's say you have something up at the top of your resume and you're not sure. I want you to look at it objectively or have someone who has knowledge of your field to look at it dispassionately and say, with each of the whatever elements you have in there, however many things you have listed as being part of what you bring to the table, are each of them differentiating? Are they, in fact, the minimum qualifications for the job? That's the acid test, if you will. The mistake that many people make in attempting to brand themselves is they try to appeal to everyone. I remember one time when I was working with someone on their resume, and it was a real eye-opener for me because I hadn't thought about it this way. But she said, yeah, I really want to make sure my resume is, I want everybody to get excited. I want everybody to call me and reach out to me for an interview. And that is not the purpose of your branding statement. So think about, let's go back to Nike shoes, right? So if they brand and they market their shoes properly, people for whom Nike is the right brand, whatever it is. They want the certain performance. They like the look. They want that name on the side. The swoosh, right, is important to them. Whatever it is, they're going to be attracted strongly to purchase those Nike shoes. And people like, I don't know, like me, I don't care about the swoosh. I don't care about, I'm not, you know, I don't perform. Like, I have another brand that I really like because I'm a walker. That's what I do. So that's what you want with your brand. And it's the same thing on your resume. You want people to have a polar response to your resume. So there will be a population of people who will go, nope, not who we're looking for. This is someone who wants to, I'll give a good example. And in fact, it's a good example because it was someone that I was working with and kind of helping him to see his brand on a very cursory level during a consult just yesterday. And I was saying, oh, you're Mary Poppins. This is a term I've used with folks many times over the year. His strength is in going into something that is broken on basically every level, lots of problems, and he loves the challenge of fixing those problems and getting to the root of them. And then when that is done, and he was able to kind of quantify, takes me 2 to 4 years to get that done, and then I am bored to tears until I move on to another challenge, right? So if you have properly branded you as, I wouldn't use the term Mary Poppins, but that concept on the top of your resume, and you've got an employer looking at your resume who either, you know, thinks he doesn't have problems. I don't know that he could possibly not have problems, but he doesn't think he has problems. He's not going to want to talk to you. And that's great because you don't want to talk to him either, right? We tend to forget when an employer rejects us that sometimes that's really a good thing because it was not the right fit. And we really, you know, would have ended up rejecting them at some point. The flip side of that polarizing response is some number of employers are going to look at your resume and go, oh my gosh, this guy is absolutely the solution to these problems we're having right now. I cannot wait to talk to him. So that's what I mean by that polar response. The alternative is what I call the meh response, right? Meh, I don't know. You might make it through the first cut, like that initial culling of the resumes, but chances are you won't get to the interview. And if you do, you won't make it very far. And if you do make it very far, it's because it's a company that isn't on top of what they're looking for. Maybe they're not paying a premium rate for the, you know, the talent that they know they can't get top talent because of what they're willing to pay, except that the company is broken on some level, on a real systemic level that is going to make it difficult for you to do the job. Like, it could be all kinds of things like that. So I want to give you 3 great examples. And I know oftentimes I tell you, you know, check out the show notes, but this is one time when it would be really great if you would check out the show notes so that you can see these. And to be clear, they're not going to be laid out in the show notes in the way that I would put them on a resume, you know, really looking nice and tight and the right font and all of that. But the content is there. So remember, the goal here is to be differentiating and attention grabbing. So here's the first example. Up at the top, remember we said I have a job title. And this is one who is pretty focused. It's in creative operations. So to be clear, what this person wanted to do is, and had been doing, is she was in a creative, like working for an advertising agency or working in-house with the, you know, the PR and advertising marketing team in-house. And she was the person, the operations person, making sure that all of the, you know, the engines run on time, making sure that the contracts with outside agencies are going right, and all the operational aspects of creative production in an organization. So her title at the top was transformational leader, creative operations. And under that, I had these terms: change management, integrated team leadership, content champion. Those were 3 really important facets of her brand. Then I said, bringing best practices in content creation and creative production from a wide range of B2B, B2C, and D2C experience spanning financial services, food and beverage, CPG, retail, luxury automotive, OTC pharma, and online media. Global leadership experience includes onshore and offshore teams spanning US, Canada, China, and Italy. Wow, right? Now think about that from the perspective of a prospective employer. I've got all this I've done. This person has done B2B, B2C, D2C. And they've worked in all these different areas. So to the point that I was making earlier about that polar response, if a prospective employer is wanting someone who has depth of experience in, let's say, pharma, they're not going to want her. This is breadth, right? What we're selling with her is breadth of experience across pharma, food and beverage, CPG, all the things, right? And then we talk about the global leadership experience. And I got very specific with that she's worked with onshore and offshore teams. So now what I know as an employer is she's managed teams remotely for sure, because the offshore teams. And I have a sense globally of what that looks like. That is then followed by this content. I've got two subheadings, if you will. The first one is leadership highlights. And then I've got three bullets under there. Number one, increased production capacity by as much as 52%. Generated savings by as much as 50% on contracts. Reduced expenses by as much as 49%. So, wow, this person can save me money. I love that. What else can she do for me? Next thing I have is proven record of success in. And I've got three bullets here as well. Restructuring creative departments and workflows. Achieving greater productivity and efficiency. Oh, she can make things more efficient. I'm all in. I want to hear more. Negotiating contracts and developing vendor relationships that slash costs and minimize financial, operational, and legal risk. Woo! Must have this woman. And optimizing in-house utilization and external resources by creating transparency around demand. In other words, we're going to know, you know, we're going to know for sure when we need to keep something in-house. When do we need to hire? We're not going to hire outside if we don't need it. So all, yeah, I mean, I know I wrote it. It was really good. Next one is from 2021. So I wanted to let you know that because this one has a lot of language around COVID. So to give you a little backstory, this is someone that I've known for many, many years. And she was in a chief human resource officer, a CHRO role with a hospital in St. Louis. And she was, not surprisingly, quite burnt out in 2021 from COVID. So she was looking to step out of healthcare. And so that's the backdrop on this. So the heading was Chief Human Resource Officer. That's what she was, you know, in her current role and what she wanted to do going forward. Under that was this statement, delivering an executive presence coupled with a data-driven decision process and willingness to engage in tough conversations. So from there, what I know about her is this is someone who's going to represent my organization while she has an executive presence. I also know that she's going to use data to make decisions. She's not going to be a softie. She's going to base the decisions of the organization around what is the data telling her. And then willingness to engage in tough conversations. So she is not going to shy away from those tough human capital related conversations. Now, here's the paragraph. Senior HR professional with an exceptional record of improving employee engagement and retention in the high turnover field of healthcare. Through a combination of building strategic relationships, gathering data directly from frontline workers, and restructuring hiring, onboarding, and compensation processes. So now what I know about her, and I was very intentional in saying high turnover field of healthcare. Not that anybody didn't know that it was a lot of turnover in healthcare in 2021, but I wanted to spell it out for the prospective employer. And then we talked about how does she do that? She's really good at building strategic relationships, gathering data directly from frontline workers. So she's going to hear from boots on the ground what's going on, and then the various processes that she restructured. And then I had three representative achievements for her. Transform perception of HR into a true business partner in support of organizational leadership with an optimal blend of training, change management, coaching, and a full branding shift. Next one. Served in key leadership capacity during COVID-19, including massive furlough and establishing remote work structure for 5,000 employees. Now, would she have to do that in the new job in, you know, 2024? Probably not, but it tells me a lot about what she's capable of. I can translate that into something that may be relevant for this company. And then finally, reduced turnover by as much as 4% for frontline healthcare workers and 3.3% for corporate areas. This one was interesting because she pushed back. She's like, it was only 4%. And I was like, girl, You reduced turnover by 4% during a global pandemic, and you work at a hospital? I was willing to go to the mat on that one. That one was staying in. And once she saw it through my eyes, she totally got it. But it was not a big deal to her until I explained it to her. All right, and I got one more for you. This one is an enterprise risk executive. And the statement is, strategically tackling mission-critical problems, increasing efficiency, and improving processes. Highly adept at collaborating across enterprises to solve complex challenges. Here's her paragraph. Known for thriving in ambiguity and bringing structure through processes, cross-functional engagement, and communication, and high-level strategic focus, coupled with an eye on risk-reward balance and achievement of organizational goals. So this is somebody who worked in a bank. She has landed in a great new enterprise risk executive role with another banking organization. And we really wanted to highlight this thriving in ambiguity, bringing structure, finding ways to organize things and bring about efficiencies. Experience includes, and I had five bullets for her. So her experience includes credit risk, operational risk, compliance risk, reputation risk, and strategic risk expertise, coupled with exposure to liquidity risk, price risk, and interest rate risk. Now, if you're like most people, you're going to be saying, why can't we just have risk once or twice in there? Because for search engine optimization, I wanted to attach the word risk to each of those. Operational risk. Compliance risk. So I'm thinking like a recruiter who would be putting search terms into the ATS or, you know, based if the ATS is reading off of the job description. Next one, a foundation in commercial banking, underwriting, and relationship management with 7 years experience in sales and sales management. Oh, by the way, that first bullet with all those risks, that was very unusual for someone in her field to have that many areas of risk experience. People tend to specialize. So then she's got this foundation in commercial banking, and so she's done some other things besides risk management. Next, enterprise level strategic planning and risk oversight. So she's been at the conference table when enterprise level decisions are being made. Next, building operational risk and AML programs from the ground up, which is anti-money laundering. And finally, M&A, that's mergers and acquisition, due diligence and integrations of banks and fintechs, including developing governance frameworks. So the bank that she's worked for has acquired, it's, I don't know if acquired is the right word, but she's worked with a lot of fintechs who the bank bought whatever fintech they made. And so there's been this M&A process. And so she's worked with that. And that's pretty unique. All right, couple points I want to make about these bullets. Number one, I don't ever duplicate something from down in the experience section, you know, an achievement bullet. I don't copy that. It's not a duplicate. Rather, I think of it as like reconstituting. So I'm going to take the essence of what I see in the experience, what I've written for the experience section, and I'm going to reconstitute it up in the summary section. So for example, if a client is in sales and has a strong record of increasing market share, let's say, and he's done that repeatedly, I might pull that information together in a bullet that sounds something like this. Consistently catapulted market share by as much as 34% with a strategic combination of blank, blank, and blank. And if you remember, that's what I did with the HR, the chief HR person. I said by as much as. She'd reduced something, increased something by as much as. So what I'm doing is I'm looking across the landscape of her jobs and, okay, she's done this every single time. What's the highest number, the best number? And that's what I'm going to use. The second point I want to make about these bullets is that whatever you include in your summary really must be attached somewhere in your experience section or elsewhere. So it could be something educational that you've gotten, a credential, but it needs to be somewhere else because otherwise it's just kind of hanging out there and there's nothing to attach it to, right? There's nothing connecting it to an actual job or whatever where you earned that. And finally, now that I've given you three great examples, I want to give you a few that aren't so great to kind of contrast. So this one did have an objective on it. Self-motivated and energetic healthcare administrator looking for a full-time position in a company where there is always an opportunity to grow, gain experience, and improve skills. What can you do for me? I still don't know. Experience in medical operations, excellent interpersonal communication skills, and the organizational savvy to run a facility smoothly, also proudly maintain a highly productive, efficient, and quality and driven environment always. So I get a little bit of what they can do for me in that second sentence, but it's not super differentiating. And then there's nothing below that that backs that up. The next one, sales leader. A results-oriented sales professional, as opposed to the non-results-oriented sales professionals, with a proven track record in business development and sales management. So again, I would expect that. Over 20 years of consultative sales experience, adept at building relationships, developing tailored solutions, and closing deals with multiple decision makers throughout the U.S. and Canada. Again, I'm like, that's what you're supposed to do. Consistent top revenue producer with exceptional track record for exceeding sales objectives. Well, tell me about how much. I don't know. Knowledgeable in technology with experience in working with startups and SaaS solutions. And then it goes on from there. And then this one was interesting. It said he wants to be an Android developer or web developer. And he had it, rather than it saying summary or nothing, because I don't ever head this section. I just start right in. But he called it work experience. So the applicant tracking system is going to go to this section to try to find out what his job experience is, and does he have the requisite number of years of experience, and what job titles does he have, and they're not going to find it. And then he called his actual work experience section jobs. All of it was very wonky in terms of the ATS would be super confused by this one. But his said work experience, self-taught Android developer who designed, developed, deployed, and maintained various different apps for a diverse user base. Super vague, right? We don't really know what we're talking about here. When I see self-taught, well, that automatically tells me that means he may not have the education that I'm looking for. So it kind of brings that to the forefront, which is not serving him. At the risk of beating a dead horse, I want to make sure that your branding statement and your summary are, first of all, differentiating. Second of all, not just the minimum requirements of the job, and see compelling, interesting, they want to keep reading. I hope this has been helpful. Again, as I said at the outset, if this is something you have listened to this and decided you do not want to acquire this skill set, I've told you my story before. I was teaching college students how to write resumes for, well, at that point, nearly 20 years when I realized I didn't know what I was doing because I got my resume credential. So when someone who does something completely out of that field doesn't know how to write resumes, that's what I would expect. Why would you have this skill set? Yes, you know yourself, but do you know how to write a resume? Do you understand applicant tracking systems? Do you understand keywords? Do you understand branding? All of the things that go into both my initial and my master resume certification. I hope this has been helpful, and I will see you next week. Take care. If you enjoyed this podcast, I would greatly appreciate it if you subscribed and left me a review. If you would like to discuss working with me to achieve your job search or career goals, my calendar link is in the show notes.